You're listening to the RRR Podcast.
Welcome to the RRR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedi Mon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 17.
The Gaim Machine. It was going to be Weebly Wobbly Gimmy Wimmy, but we may or may not have used it, so.
No, we did.
We did.
Season 4.
We didn't like it the first time you used it.
Well, but this time there's actual time travel. So, it works out.
That was legitimate.
I hate my life.
It's starting to happen. Soon I'll just never know the word time again. Can you imagine? So go up to someone, hey, what Gaim is it? What?
Sir, do you have the Gaim?
Do you have Gaim to talk about Jesus Christ today? Gaim. So much. Make us so happy and so sad at the same time.
So, 1-ups. I'm in a hotel, because that's just my life all the time, apparently.
That's how Brian rolls. He's like a fucking rock star. Lives out of hotels, trashes them. By trashes, I mean leave crumbs in the drawers.
Toy-wise, what do we got going on? Mandrake box and AmiAmi box will be waiting for me by the time I get home. Other than that, I've been to 2 flea markets in the span of a week. That's weird, because I hate
white
flea
trash
markets. But, the one I went to earlier in the week, last Sunday, I got a Rescue Force big truck thing.
Why?
Rescue Striker and Rescue Commander set for $5. 'Cause I was looking at a Transformer. And so I asked him to get him out of the case, and I was looking at it to see if it had everything attached and all that fun stuff, and there wasn't paint scuffs and everything. And I had seen a box on the shelf that was on its side, and I just saw a DX on it. I was like, shit's legit, I need to see that. And so I said, well, I see the box right there between, it was a Star Wars thing and some other thing. And he said, sure, and if you want it, it's only $5. I'm like, I didn't even, like, look at it. I, like, glanced up. I realized it was Rescue Force. And I'm like, sure, I'll take it. I had no idea what it was or if it was complete or if it was working. But I figured
it's just been a box.
For $5, it was okay.
They advertised it as a $5 foot long.
I got it home, and it was complete, working, had all the cards. Had more than all the cards, actually.
There's Yu-Gi-Oh cards in it, Pokemon, a couple magic.
So that was really cool. At the one I went to today, there wasn't a whole lot there. I found one of those miniature Megazord things of that Astro Delta Megazord. And so I was like, okay, that's cool. I like space. And so I bought it, and then our room number's 335, and it just kind of blew my mind.
Let's rock this.
Oh, it blew.
I'm like, this shit is weird.
See, the first thing I noticed about that picture was the shoe horse. I'm like, what is a shoe horse? A horseshoe.
A horseshoe?
A horseshoe.
I was wondering what the hell a shoe horse was.
What
I just pretended to know to fit in.
In space. Damn it.
We're in the area that we're in right now is very much Amish area. And so there's fucking horses pooping everywhere. And so that's my life right now. So I guess they're like, oh,
Brian's joining an ordnung.
There's horses everywhere. Let's put horses on all the room numbers. And so that's what they do. I don't know.
For some reason, I thought you were insinuating that only the Amish use shoehorns. Like, there's a lot of Amish people out here, so there's an abundance of shoehorns. Can't get your shoes on? What's wrong with you, Amish people? I don't know why I suddenly attacked the Amish for their shoes. I'll just stop.
But yeah, that's, I think that's about it, so.
Nutsack.
Yep.
I'm gonna pass, because nothing's happened to me exciting this week.
So, some exciting things have happened to me recently. I got two key sets today from Brian. I have all the Tommies now. I have all Tommies, plus I have Danny Slavin, and who doesn't want a key of that asshole? I mean, like, we saw him in person in an elevator, and Dawson got all awkward and fucked shit up.
Never let him down.
You guys saw him in an elevator? I don't even remember this.
It was outside an elevator.
Yeah,
when was this?
We went to...
I remember it happening.
I forgot what we were doing. We were outside the elevator.
Was that at night when he asked if you were going to the VIP meet and greet?
Oh, yeah. Like, fuck you, we're going to dinner. Okay. I don't know why. I always just have all these memories of Kevin and I being together and, like, no one else was there. And we don't know where anyone else was.
That's basically how it was, though. Like,
I think that was after we got
split up and went off into our own, like, little pairs of convention buddies.
Dawson was my convention buddy.
Every now and then, Aerosol would pop up like a gopher and be like, hey, gang.
Involve their own personal circle
sometimes
jerk.
Sometimes he would
awesome.
Have the hat, sometimes not. It was like...
The only thing I got from Morphicon, because I didn't get to talk about this last week, was I got a Skull Lock seat and I got that Mega Ring set. And then my Ami box was at home waiting for me when I got home, so that was a thing. And I bought anything else? I pre-ordered Voleagle because I'm that kind of a person. And I did it. I got my second badge on X and Y.
Working on that all week.
Well, you know,
on Morphicon too.
I was so close on X, and then like we're on the plane home, and my fucking battery died. Like I left Brian and Kat and Aerosol at the Denver airport. Dawson had abandoned us a day early, and I'm at the airport, and my fucking battery died. I'm like, it was like red and blinking. I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm so close. Like I'm getting ready to get on the plane to New Orleans, so there's like no way to charge this thing at all. I'm like, you bastard. But
it's always the worst time.
Yeah, but I did get it on X and Y. And I have actual teams now that aren't just like the six people you fucking start the game with, so that's good. Let's see, I'm trying to think of what else. I don't know, I think that's mostly it. I don't think I did anything else. I found Rat Trap. Brian mentioned that last week. I laugh in his face still.
He literally just found a rat trap. It was like a mouse trap, but for rats.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awkward. There's a
it's
dead rat in it.
Bigger and dirtier cheese is bait. I don't know what rats are into.
There's a dead rat in it, so I dressed it up in a little kimono and called it Splinter.
They're just like evil mice.
Unfortunately, this rat did not teach me how to cook. But you know what you're going to do. It's a fucking rat.
Okay.
So, I'm just thinking about Rat from Jet Jackson.
I think it's Fuckstick's turn.
Well, a house nearby me blew up the other day.
Why does he always have the exciting stories?
Was it like a gas break? Or?
I have no clue.
That's so weird.
Because, yeah, and like I've seen pictures of it. We even drove. The right word.
that was a me. You pulled a me.
We even drove by there. It's like completely leveled. Like it's not just like one room blew up. It's just the whole house is completely leveled, and there's damage on the other sides, like of all the different houses around it.
I think someone reenacted the demo for Rainbow Six, or Buffy and Spike had sex in it. That's probably what happened.
As far as I know, they don't really know what's going on. I heard rumors that it might have been a meth lab, but I don't know.
Oh, meth labs are awesome.
No, they don't. No, they aren't.
No, they don't. That's some Heisenberg level shit.
But who knows? I mean, that's about it. It just the house blowing up thing. So.
Well, I do know that Brian likes the cock, so that's a thing.
I'm still slightly disappointed. Nothing dangerous was witnessed by us while we were there at Saw. Like, the magnet didn't work. I mean, I did see that guy throw his keys at that car. I think that was just, like, a very residual energy from it, but...
Wait, what was this?
When I was at Ralph's, the,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, he was so mad. I'm like, Jesus, you're the one fucking jaywalking.
Yeah. Oh, and... I was supposed, remember we met that kid, and we were supposed to give a shout out to this kid who lives like 8 blocks from me. So we were at Morphicon, we ran into some kid and his dad.
And, I didn't even know his name.
And his name was Ben.
Oh.
And we were wearing our shirts, and of course, like constantly, we kept getting stopped. And this is probably one of the things that pissed me off the most. Not meeting this kid. When people would stop us with the shirts, because we get, what does your shirt stand for? We had the red R thing, and we get, oh yeah, it's our podcast, Riders, Rangers, and Rambles. And what most people would do is they would look at us and they go, well, which one are you? What?
I'm dopey.
They would either ask that or they would walk away.
they'd walk away. Or, but when you ask them, when they go, we go, what? And they go, well, are you the Rider, the Ranger, or the Ramble? He's gonna go, what?
Aristotle would just say, I'm the rebel, because he was the fourth R.
Like, I don't think you understand how podcasts work. Like, how titles work. Like, what is wrong with you? That's what we kept getting, aside from the time I got called the awesome writer.
I'm Kevin.
Digimon.
And so I got called Digimon, that was the thing. We're talking to this kid and his dad, and we're telling him about it, and find out that he lives here in New Orleans, not too far from where I live. And Ben Bryan comes up, and they go on about their business, going back towards the convention. We're going to go eat fresh. Dawson had abandoned us.
I was sniffing Andros's hair in the elevator.
Dawson
silently
abandoned
hating
us.
Beezy.
Yeah, Dawson was avoiding the ethnic addition to the
crowd.
And he hates non-whites, so it's okay. It's what happens. You get used to when you're around him. And
it's actually kind of funny how that appears. The joke.
And Brian goes, so we tell him, Brian goes, did you tell him our podcast has explicit language? We forgot that part. Like, we always...
I just feel like that's one of the things that should be mentioned first when we're discussing our show to strangers.
Especially strangers who are like 12-year-old children or younger. Yeah.
We swear a lot and talk about sexual organs.
I saw that little kid around the convention floor after that. He was pretty cool. He knew his stuff.
And from what Aristotle said, he was the one who went up to ASJ at a panel and was like, so what's the deal with you and JDF?
Yeah. That was him.
What's up with the three-letter thing?
You know what? Sometimes when your name's that long, man, you just get lazy. And you don't want to say your whole name. You just got to go by your initials. That's what makes you cool. That's what makes
just
you cool.
Just realize that Blake Foster's Baff.
Wouldn't Walter Jones be Wedge? What's up, Wedge? Not your finger.
That's just funny. But yeah, Brian's eventually going to upload our movie.
Yep.
What passes for a movie.
I got all the footage of my... That was a trip and a half, let me tell you.
All the footage of us sitting and laughing.
I decided to put all the footage on my laptop because I wanted to work on it while I was gone. And the processor in my laptop is obviously nowhere near the processor in my iMac, so it's taking forever. The battery would fail before all the footage would get uploaded. So
is it multiple parts or is it one part?
I haven't got that far yet. I don't know. I'll probably end up doing two. I think that's probably what I'm gonna end up doing.
We have so much less footage this time. This is the disappointing sequel, everyone. The true stock is actually in the photos, seriously. And in the stories of the shit that happened to me and Kevin when the camera wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, you know what Brian's going to have to do is just going to have another whole segment, which is just like the photos from Morphicon in a slideshow with Time of Your Life playing over it.
Depressing.
Well, it is a breakup song, and Dawson is leaving our group forever, so it's never going to be this in person again.
Nope. I've had too much. I've seen some stuff. I can't go back.
He saw Aerosol's face. It was too much for him.
It was way too much for Brian. It went right over his head.
Oh, I never did tell that last week, because I don't think that's on camera.
You tackling me?
No, well, that too, but I got off the plane in Denver, and the moment I walked out was I just immediately saw Brian. Like, wow, he was the very first person I saw.
He's so noticeable. He is the Shukun Shinobi. He's laughing constantly.
Like, I saw him walking towards me, and I just, like, put my briefcase down, and I'm just like standing there in front of him smiling, and he just walks on past me and keeps going. And then, you know, Kat stops and Dawson looks like really confused.
I was, because you started talking to me. I'm like, the fuck is this guy? Like, that's like the attitude I get whenever like a stranger starts talking to me. I'm like, the fuck's your problem? What gave you the idea that this was okay?
Like, I started talking to you, and it wasn't until, like, a few sentences. I talked for a while until you were finally like, Aerosol?
That's exactly what happened.
I was, like, on the other side of the airport at this time.
Yeah, Brian just kept walking.
You sound different in person than like, over Skype.
Like, he said something like, can you believe this guy? And that's why, like, I was confused, because I thought it was just some stranger talking to me.
Look, I made it up by being an awesome con buddy. So.
And I was convinced the dude behind me was Aerosol, so that's why I was also confused. Like, even after we met him, I'm still pretty sure that was him. There's no way of proving that.
But in response to Aerosol's plane experience from that he described last time, when I left, when I went to, you know, leaving out New Orleans, they were scrubbing everyone's hands. Like the only option was the express line, and they scrub everyone's hands. There wasn't like a random thing. And then we get sound effects. You heard me rubbing my hand?
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But I got through it real fast. When they took my toothpaste, were like, this is too big for an airplane. I'm like, what am I going to do?
That's
like,
what she said.
I'm going to whiten everyone's teeth? Is that really a terror threat? But okay.
Brush up, bitch.
I mean, like, the foreign chicks in front of me had, like, a fucking Cracker Barrel bag full of, like, hand lotion and body wash they were trying to, like, sneak on the plane. They were probably going to try and give us all baths. So, you know, they were big threats. And
hi, please.
So that took forever for them to understand that they couldn't take these big old fucking bottles of, like, you know, herbal essences, whatever the fuck they had on the plane. And we were leaving Burbank, though, and the chick is like, we're trying to get, like, she's like, I guess we go through this line. So you can't go through this line. Did it have the express thing on the top of your ticket? I'm like, no, you can't go through this line. So we go to the next line over, which takes us to the exact same place. It just doesn't have the express sign. Like, there's no one else there, and we're like, this was stupid. And of course, like Aerosol described, they stopped us and we're like, are y'all together? I don't know why they talk like cats, but they're like, are y'all together? I'm like, yeah.
Hey, ass butt, are you all together?
Like, you've been randomly selected for a screening. I think it's because we said yes. I think if we'd said no, they'd just let us through.
What movie?
Yeah. I just got it. What's your favorite season? Of what, idiot? Didn't even leave a show. Ryan, did you get on camera our meeting with Kevin? Like, when he came out of the thing? of the gates, the plane gates?
I'll have to double check the footage. I think so, yeah.
I think he got some of it. Like,
I didn't even get to use my sign for aerosol that said asshole hero.
Because I was recording for a while, and then I shut it off, and then that's when aerosol tackled him.
Yeah, I walk out, and I see Dawson and Brian, and Dawson's holding a sign that said, I don't know what it said.
Devin.
That said Devin. I was expecting to see Astro in 2005, and it just said Devin. And so that was funny. And I'm waiting. Yeah. What I'm expecting to see is Brian, Dawson, aerosol. I'm like, okay. I see Brian, Dawson. So I'm looking around. I'm like, what the fuck? I get there. I'm like, we're missing some people. And Brian's like, yeah, Kat and Dawson's mom are in the bathroom. And he's like, I don't know where aerosol is. I'm like, hold up. Dawson's mother is here again? I was told she wasn't coming this time. I'm like, oh yeah, Dawson's mother is here. I'm like, okay. Ignoring the fact that Kat's even a person. And and then it's like, where's aerosol? Shouldn't there be a third person with you? Like, he was jacking off or something. I don't know what he was doing. Getting his bag. And all of a sudden, like, this bald man just runs up to me and tackles me.
That was more awkward than my meeting.
Like, you know, I guess it's kind of fortunate for aerosol I had this big old bag on and my hands were full, because if I'd have been paying attention and saw a large man running towards me to tackle me, it probably wouldn't have ended well for him.
Well, I was trying to sneak up, because I had left to go to the bathroom. That's what I was doing. But I was trying to sneak up behind you, and I saw you turn around and glance at my direction. But just like Brian, you just kind of turned back around and didn't really like realize. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to run at him.
I don't even think I saw you. Like, I probably looked in your direction but didn't even notice you. Like your cat, you're like, just not a person.
You know what's funny is that when aerosol was with us right before you got there, he, like, turned and walked away from us, like, down towards this area. And he, like, turned to the right. And I'm like, where's he going? And I went down there and looked, and he disappeared. He was, like, fast as fuck. Like, it was like a movie where someone turns a corner and they're gone. What the hell? Like, because it was a wide open area. There was no, like, side alley or something to go to. I'm like, where the hell did he go? I like to imagine as soon as you turn the corner, you just started sprinting.
But you're so sneaky like Matt Mullen. He just vanishes into thin air.
I was wondering if Brian got the meeting on camera, because we were just sitting there sort of talking. I was like, huh. And then I just, like, glance over and see Kevin coming out. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm not ready.
You didn't have the sign or anything. It's like,
I had, like, scramble for the sign. Almost held up my plane ticket. It's awkward.
Didn't you hold it up upside down or something?
Probably.
Or maybe I'm imagining that. I don't know, but, like...
Ravid.
It was pretty awful. But, yeah. Like... Yeah. It was fun. Had actual people on the return flight. My trip there was just... I was just reclining. Like, had the whole thing. I had two tray tables. I was just spread my shit out in the plane. It was 28 of us from San Jose to Burbank.
I had two tray tables. It was life.
We're on a 737. There's 28 fucking people. Like, I had 9 rows to myself.
It's a lot of numbers.
I used all 9 of them damn rolls.
Fucking did. Rolls. Rub my balls in each one of those seats.
Our flight didn't have rolls. They want you to take the rolls.
Oh, wow.
Fucking return flight was full. We're like, aerosol, find us a seat. You got an A. The rest of us were fucking Bs. Douchebag.
I don't know how I got into A so many times. Like, I actually got my tickets after you.
Because you're a cock lover.
Return flight.
Did you, like, pay for the thing?
Huh?
Did you, like, pay for
the early boarding or whatever? Well, the early boarding is only, like, A1 through 15. He was, like, A30.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, I was on the way home. I felt elite.
Like, I don't know what happened. All I know is that he was ahead of us. And then we go to get on the plane, and we're like, do I get in the front or the back? And we're like, okay, well, if Brian was going to go in the front of the plane, Kat and I went in the back. We encountered aerosol first. Brian's, yeah, like, trying to struggle to get to the seat.
I was trying.
So Kat's like, oh, y'all sit together. And she sat, like, 2 rows in front of us. And then I sit. I had to climb over aerosol. And we had to wait for Brian to get there. Brian was trying to get past people. They didn't want to move.
He's fucking pushing him into the aisles.
He really was. He was trying to knock people over.
Do you know,
like,
who I am?
I am the Shukran. Like, get out of his fucking way. That's the Shukran Shinobi. What the hell are you people doing? Don't you know who he is? He's on the Power Force.
Fudo the Talking Ninja. I'm a NinjaStorm fan.
I don't remember if I brought this up on the cast, but I want to take a moment.
You hate Scott? Because I hate Scott, too.
Yeah.
Scott is a
fucking dick.
His twirly fucking mustache. That's how you know he's a douchebag. He twirls
his mustache.
It's
like a cartoon villain that sells popcorn.
It's like...
So...
Fucking snidely whiplash over there.
Saban's like, all the Power Force people can come to this breakfast, and they did it 2 years ago, too. And I'm like, well, I ain't passing up breakfast.
He tied Sierra Hanna to train tracks.
I got my Ron Swanson on, and I'm like, so breakfast buffet, there. Let's do it. And
he had to cover the breakfast when the glitter fell down.
So I go to the thing, and it was fun and everything, and the cast was there, and then, I mean, like, they didn't really talk to a whole lot of people, but they were there for photographs with the Make-A-Wish Foundation kids, because apparently they were invited too. No one told me. I was upset.
Brian pushed the Make-A-Wish kids out of the way. He was like,
I'm Shukran Shinobi.
I'm on the Power Force.
Get out of the way, sick child. I'm Shuki.
Step aside, kid. I want to see Gia.
You're in the way of my wish.
And so that day they were doing the wristbands for... To meet the Super Mega Force cast at 10 o'clock, and breakfast was at 9. So I'm like, okay. So we went to the breakfast, and then like shortly after 10 o'clock, we're still doing photographs with the kids and stuff. I'm like, this is a lost cause. I don't feel like socializing. I'm out. So we went back.
Wow. Oh wow. Photographs with the kids. This is a lost cause. God, this, Brian.
This morning turned.
Well, I.
Wait, well, it's dark in my door, children.
Well, my thought process was that they're here. We're gonna get to take pictures and possibly get autographs. And apparently, that like never happened.
They took pictures with Keith Justice and Bruno, and that's about it.
Like a couple people got pictures, yeah, and that was it. Apparently. Everyone just kind of just started leaving because it was a lost cause. And so I get back into the convention and I'm like, well, where's this wristband thing? Because I was just curious if there was any left. And so I finally end up bouncing person to person. I finally end up at Scott. And I'm like, is there any wristbands left or anything? Because I was at the Power Force breakfast and didn't get an opportunity to stand in line. And he basically just said, you had to choose one or the other. You can't have both. And then walked away. And so I'm sitting here going, so I lose out on the opportunity to get their autographs and actually have a chance to talk to them without being surrounded by a bunch of other people and then a bunch of little children. Because I decided to go eat breakfast.
It is the most important meal of the day, sir. The most important
I was upset because I didn't get to... The bacon wasn't worth it, man.
And we didn't think to get Brian a poster.
Yeah, because he said... I got the text, like, it was intermingled with all Kevin's texts with me and my two dates. But, you know what's funny is that when you met them, it wasn't like Samurai where you were, like, smushed with a bunch of people. You essentially got them to yourselves. Like, Kevin and I were the only ones at the table. During our little time.
That's cool.
We looked into Sierra Hanna's eyes. It was magical. Yeah. And you get distracted. Like,
I'll take a picture for you. Oh, she's so pretty. Bye. Kevin's like, wait. Not even hearing him.
I forgot I had a kid for a minute. And I was there like, I'm like, yeah, look at this picture of Kaylee. And I'm like, oh, no.
She's picture like, of, what the hell is this?
She's like... And I'm talking about her. She's like, oh, she's so cute. And she shows Cameron. And he's like, what's up? He's like, oh, she's so cute. And it's at that point she's signing the poster that I realize Azeem wrote my name on the poster. I can't come home with a poster for Kaylee and go, look, here's for you. It's got my name on it. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm about to walk away. I'm like, wait a minute. I need one for her. Can you send me another one? I'm like, oh, sure. It's like a stack of, like, 3,000 posters. Like,
all, like, the duds at Zim, they're just, like, messed up. It's like, nope, not good enough. Throws
it down. There's, like, 200 wristbands, and they got a stack of, like, 1,000 posters at the table. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, this will be fine. And Aerosol found out on Sunday that the signing was free.
Yeah, I'm still mad at myself because I didn't know that it was free. I'm standing in line, I'm just like, okay, guys, I'll see you later, and I just walk off because I thought I had to pay for it.
Like, and I didn't say anything. I just figured, oh, the guy just doesn't want to meet the Super Mega Force cast. Whatever. I don't give a shit. It's not my business.
the entire weekend was, like, just a bunch of unfortunate happenings.
It's a series of unfortunate events.
That's Jim what Carrey I was going was for, except disguise. I couldn't remember what it was called.
Fortunate happenings? The Dr. X hosts. Yeah,
who the fuck teaches Brian how to talk?
He had to watch out for the wristband Gestapo. Fucking checking you 3 times. The same guy walks by you 3 times. Like, dude, I just saw you. I mean, like, what if someone gets through? It's not a big deal.
He's like, it's been a long day. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not 8 o'clock at night. If it's 8 o'clock at night, I'm going, well, yeah, man, it's been a long day, and I understand. No, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you fucker. It's lunchtime. Stop it. What have you been doing? You've been up since 3?
It's lunchtime, runs up to attack Phantom. Sorry. And there was that one black guy that broke through and was, like, waving his hand right in front of
pretty sure he was special,
face.
Though.
It was like, yeah.
They didn't want to do him too much. Like, he. Of course, there was a crazy wheelchair lady in Austin's line. You're out of line! Get in line!
Jesus.
I moved my foot. You're out of line, fucker! Oh, shit.
Well, at least I can move my feet.
Oh, wow. On that note, I think it's time for the news.
I'm uncomfortable. I don't know.
Well, she was a bee. She has such a power trip about it.
And she can't even get into apartment 23. There's no elevator. Like, just stairs.
Like, having your pinky toe outside of this tape isn't going to cause a hazard. Were they worried someone else was going to faint?
Maybe that's how she lost her legs.
It's not even a big deal. If you faint, you just get a free trip to the next convention. That's the rules now, apparently.
Maybe that's what happened to her. Maybe she was like in line and someone had their pinky toe out, she tripped over it and just like,
she has a backstory.
She damaged her spine, now she can't walk anymore because okay, someone's bowling. Pinky toe was out of line.
Oh god, that's amazing.
She vowed, never again will I let this happen to anyone else.
She's like the world's lamest superhero. Oh my god.
So she's just a total bitch to everyone.
So today, it was revealed that Gaiman Drive is going to have a movie, Tyson. What a
BM is
surprise.
Our
was
they, now we just have, wait, await finding out how they're going to shoehorn Double Through Wizard into the movie. That's really just
they'll
what
find
we'll
their
wait.
Way.
They're all going to turn into cars.
Will show up too.
But yeah, it's pretty futile to hope that they will just stick to the Drive and Gaim cast. There's, like, pretty much a guarantee that they'll be cast from random series. There'll probably be some sort of old other random toku hero in it, too.
Ryuki will just show up.
Well, I meant, like, the Metal Heroes or Inazuman or who knows. Who knows, maybe, like, the third version of Beetleborg will show up, like the Beetleborg's babies. They'll be in a revival. They're going to be in this one.
Then they'll bring in Kikaider and Inazuman.
You know, of all of the mashups, this is probably one of the weirder ones. I mean, it's cars and fruit.
Well, there was the last one was fruit and magic.
It says the translation for it was on the page. Says a new page will be added to this history. Gaim, on its way to the climax, already has a new challenge beyond. His last stage, the new Warrior Drive appears on a car, breaking previous conceptions. Doesn't mention. Yeah, when their paths cross, an unpredictable nonstop fruit car battle will take place. That's legitimately what it says. It said fruit car in katakana.
Now I'm just picturing someone throwing fruit at a car driving by. Now I'm, and then I'm hearing Mrs. Doubtfire just saying, "It was a drive-by fruiting."
I'm imagining them just like recreating the last movie with the Sengoku War, only everyone gets cars now.
Instead of horses.
Nobunaga driving a movie. Sports car.
Instead of having like feudal wars, they're just all like just NASCAR races.
They're gonna recreate the movie Cars.
God.
Besides that, not a whole lot to actually talk about. There's some new pictures of the toys. Those look neat.
They look really nice. I really like them a lot.
I did want to talk about how awesome the driver looks. Like, it's got, I don't know if it's an on-off switch or what it actually does, but there's like a key portion that
that's how you activate it.
Like on and off, or just
no, I think that's how you activate the transformation or something. That's what I think somebody once said. It kind of makes sense.
Well, I don't know because none of the pictures actually show what it does. But I love how the clip for the belt is a seat belt, and it plugs right into the side there. Then it looks exactly like a normal seat belt thing. Clip. thing. What I are just... those called?
Brian calls them car straps.
And the LED panel actually like changes different what it shows. One that's upcoming in a Televee magazine is going to show a picture of a television. that's Dawson's. and so like Max Flare shows like a flame, and then Type Speed shows an S logo, and I assume Wild will be a W and stuff. So it's kind of cool that they're getting somewhat advanced with the LED screens, and
infrared's really
pretty convenient technology to use too. So
I'm kind of excited to see how it works and everything. What was it? I'm trying to think of what I was gonna say. Oh, I also have discovered that the TK series stands for Tire Kokan, which is tire swap.
To be fair, none of us knew what the word Kokan was to actually even guess that. So
it's not even a
considering,
word.
Considering that all of the other ones have been like O's combo change, Forza module change, like it's all been English words. So there was no real reason for us to assume it would be a Japanese word.
Kokan sounds like a Japanese person not understanding what cocaine is, and he's just really confused. Kokan?
So Mr. S, all right.
So you put it in your nose.
So Shukun Shinobi, I take the powder and I put it in my nose.
Pack and ship show after dark.
What do I do if Pack I sneeze? Sniff show.
I think that's about it. So,
but yeah, that was fun. That was a thing. I want toys. I don't know why we can't just buy toys. I need money. Yet. Fuck you, asshole.
Well, now it's time for
superhero time.
There you go.
I legit forgot what segment. Well,
what are we doing?
Tokyuja Super Chinko!
The fuck?
Oh. I was like, ticket on cocaine. Kamen Rider Gaim.
Ticket on Kokan.
That's right. Kamen Rider Gaim.
At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
I'll just put in the real one there.
Awesome. you fucking whore. But I did, speaking of things that Kerrigan did, I did notice, and I mentioned this on Twitter, I was listening to the podcast today and it came on and I'm like, is that Dawson giggling in the background?
Yeah.
Like, use your Goldar.
I was planning on going in and, like, removing that chunk, but it's such a fast clip that it's hard to remove his childlike laughter.
So first up we have Tokyuger episode 26.
Yes, they go to a bathhouse. I was fine with this. The girls were having a splash fight.
It was lasted like 15 seconds. It wasn't
shut up. If only they had put a bag on Kagura's head, it would have been even better. I did appreciate that, like, somehow Akira knows, like, everything about bathhouses and has, like, a whole set of rules.
He's a bathhouse connoisseur.
Oh, God. Like, I like the face he made when he was, like, Kagura spots him. He's just, like, got this, like, zoned out zombie looking face with his goofy grin. I thought that was funny. And then also every time that somebody just pushed right out of the way during the battle, he would just like do that squat down playing the dirt thing that Japanese people seem to do for some reason.
Every time Wright doesn't get his way, he just becomes incredibly depressed.
Why do I even bother?
Like, that shit was so funny. And then they picked up the bathhouse with Build Rusher, just lifted it right off the ground. I don't quite know how that works, but you know, that's what they did.
It works.
It was interesting that this week it wasn't a town taken over by the Shadow or anything like that. It was like the shadow monster was hunting down these like hot spots that kind of gather negative energy or something like that.
Yeah, so they could make like a whole like terminal station or something. I think that's what they said. I didn't fully grasp it.
Everything what was going on. I like the concept. If it gets fleshed out a little more on what exactly the potential these have, because I mean all we really saw from it was like the monster. The shadow was like stronger or something, maybe.
Yeah, maybe is the definite word.
it's hard to say because they defeated him with Cho Tokyo, so couldn't have been that strong.
They defeated him with Cho Tokyo fire.
Yeah, I do think it's kind of amusing that they made reference to the fact that Akira can't pilot diesel low.
What is this? There's no levers. What do I do?
Like, he's reaching for his little, like, pull strings, and they're not there. It's kind of amusing.
Yeah.
It's an okay episode. I mean, it's filler. It's there's not a lot really going on here, but
it's filler to get us from Grita dying and Hyper Russia.
Basically. But what for it was essentially just a filler episode. I had fun with it. It was probably one of my more favorite filler episodes from the show so far. I don't know why. It was just...
Well,
probably because of how defensive Akira got over a bathhouse.
Yeah. Akira was just really fun to watch in this episode because he's so, like, happy and overjoyed, and he's typically like the depressing character of the series, so to see him just like get that happy over taking a bath was funny.
Found his one true calling. I like how when they formed Cho Tokyo Fire, like yellow and pink Reshas popped off and then the fire Reshas popped on. But Pink Resha stays on because they hold the other part of fire. It was really messed up. Just wanted to point that out, Toei. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, like I like how they go around town transformed to promote the bathhouse. And I saw that, and it made me think, you know, I really hope they adapt this.
I want that to was see, my thought process while watching this. I'm like,
I want to see a bathhouse right here, this episode.
Is hardcore Power Rangers.
I want to see a bathhouse episode of Power Rangers.
And I want to see... let everyone in that bathhouse for essentially a dime.
Yes, yes. I want to go to a bathhouse for 10 cents. That
gives me a lot of faith on the quality of this place.
Like it was just so funny. They're transformed. They got these little hats and fucking posters, and like, come on to the bathhouse. I was like, right, had a drum. Fuck, he's doing with a drum. You know what was even better about the episode? Wagon was in it for about 30 seconds, and that was it. And any time Wagon is just not involved in the episode, I'm happy. Like, she didn't even know she talked. She kind of stood there. Like, I'm like, there you go. This is what we need. More of you not involved in the show. Fucking whore robot.
Man.
I don't like Wagon, so.
Yeah.
I get that.
Could tell.
Yeah, like you mentioned earlier, next week is Hyper. Meh, I guess.
It looks like it's going to be one of those things where he just gets, like, Conductor just has it. It's like, power we got this from HQ. That we've never seen.
The power-up was mailed to them. Here, we sent this to you.
Here, right, let me just stick this train on you. This is basically all it is.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I get the cannon, too. That's part of the deal. So we'll see how that goes down. Whatever. But, yeah, I'm hoping we get a little more into the story or something. There's new villains coming in, too. I don't know what...
What the fuck is your name? Mork and Mindy.
No, he's dead.
I think that's her name, though. Maybe. I don't know. Let's talk about Gaim.
Yeah.
Is she from Mork?
Yes.
No, not yet. All right.
I said yes.
It's
Oh, sorry.
Gaim 43.
There's still some more going on.
We're almost done.
All right. So this had to be the most upbeat Gaim episode we've gotten in a while. I mean, after it, I just felt like singing in the sunshine.
It was just so cheery. I mean,
seriously.
There was so much positivity and love flowing throughout the sun.
I love to throw love around.
I'm done. Someone else talk.
But yeah, this was definitely, I think, the most depressing episode of Gaim. Everyone died. All the writer systems were destroyed, I think, with a little button, just the easy button. It was a Staples commercial. I don't know. But so we essentially open with Coda dying. We got a few episodes left, buddy. You better get up. You know, he sort of let himself get stabbed. We assume he's dead. Cass will probably revive him.
Coda's essentially Jesus now.
Yeah.
Like he lets his best friend betray him, and then he forgives him, and like pretty soon he's probably just gonna resurrect. So
where's his hippie beard and sandals?
That's an Amish community with Brian.
I'm with my peeps.
I'm so torn on that scene because, you know, Coda gets a lot of props for being a really loyal friend. But when he was talking to Michi, he's like, can't you just get past a few small mistakes? A few small mistakes? He killed his brother like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And he shot you in the head. And repeatedly tried to brutally murder you while pretending to be your brother. He didn't forget to pick up the Twizzlers. Like, this is not a few small mistakes. And that still frustrates me. Like, I really appreciated the scene. And I thought it was well done in the fact that Michi started to sort of show a little bit of his caring that he used to have for Coda. And he sort of remembered that they did used to be good friends. But still, it's like, dude. Not only did he kill his brother, but his Dakota, Takatora was also his friend and ally. So it's like, man, even Takatora didn't think Meiji could be really redeemed. So it's like, shit.
Yeah.
And he also blew up some birds for that scene. There's fucking feathers everywhere.
Yeah. Like the fuck? He's coaching an angel? When Coda collapsed, the angel stains just went on the floor. The wings, like when an angel dies, I'm like, whoa. Where did he get one of those daggers?
Like, I'm sitting here going, I know this is supposed to be, like, symbolic and shit, but he like, kicked or slashed the sacks with the feathers. I'm like, I don't think they would still be falling. I think they would all be on the ground by now.
That was the feather factory. Did you guys see the sign?
It's in the warehouse district. God.
I missed that bit. Thanks for catching it for me.
But yeah, like you were saying, that line did kind of get me. Because I'm kind of okay with Coda. I obviously don't really agree on a personal level with forgiving Meiji, just because it's like, dude, seriously? But
yeah.
So I can kind of defend him just a little bit, but that line was like really dumb. Like,
yeah.
You know he killed Takatora, and you know he's done these like really bad things. Like, how can you honestly say that?
I know, it's, like, terrible. And, like, how throwaway was the Yogi Bear Arms or whatever it's called? Like, it was one episode. And then it, like, crumbled Yogi like a Bear damn arms. Triscuit.
Like, yeah.
That was really thrilled. That whole fight could have easily been accomplished with Shin Zangetsu.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You could have easily just done that being the final fight for, you know, Shin Zangetsu. And then,
yes,
obviously,
but
this episode had the belt destroyed, so
if they hadn't done Yogi Bear Arms, how would we get another AC figure in Loxie from Premium Bandai? Come
like,
on, guys.
It's the same pool. Like, so dumb with that. But and then, you know, Ryoma, he destroyed the Peach or the Marika system, Baron's Lemon Energy system. The Shin Zangetsu system is gone.
Yeah, so basically all of them except for his.
Yeah, and
Malika picked up his.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so she's going to become Duchess later.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if either her or, like, maybe even Zack kind of took up the arms in case Kaido gets a little out of hand.
He seems a bit testy right now. But and then Ryoma, yes, there goes my prediction about Ryoma being the final villain. He dead. So, like, but for real, I think, and unlike Coda, who probably just has a light flesh wound.
No, I don't, despite the fact that he's had his brain placed inside of a washed-up Toku villain, I don't think he can survive that. I think he's pretty gone. I thought he was gone when he slammed into the side of a building, honestly.
Yeah, but, like, he Dragon Ball Z'd the fuck out of him. It's like, take that, Kakarot. What the hell is Kakarot?
I kind of really like that whole scene, though, because
that was great.
Kaido, you know, Kaido finally just like, well, I'm already poisoned, might as well eat this fruit. sounds so silly when I say
it. Peel it. But, it's like eating a banana without peeling it. What a badass.
But like Ryoma's his big like hissy fit that he throws is all entirely because Kaido managed to achieve like this greater power without the use of his technology. Like, that's his problem, and even Kaido was like, that's your issue? Really? How petty can you be? And then he punches him into a wall.
Such a bratty thing. He's like, you're getting just strong, and you're not using my drivers. They're mine, and not getting me credit. Oh my god, the credit, oh my god. Like, parallels in my mind now, and it's making me laugh.
You didn't credit. I need a watermark. Oh my shit, god damn it. How could you not give me credit for finding a link on Amazon that anyone could have found? God! But I couldn't take Ryoma's monologuing seriously in his still outfit that he looks like he's getting dressed for his first day at kindergarten. He's like, I'm an evil mastermind. Dude, look at your shorts. Stop monologuing in those shorts. Seriously. Like, what kind of clothes did you have at your secret hideaway?
To Ryoma's credit this episode, though, he did kill Mai.
Yeah.
Like, flat out killed her.
He, like, probably tore her heart up.
Yeah.
Like, that's disturbing. Like, I honestly wasn't expecting that. Like, it was so sudden. Like, it was just, like, sort of like Michi found it. I came out and be like, oh, yeah, she's dead.
I had to cut the fruit out. I got the fruit.
I polished it. There was a lot of blood over it. Bitch got it dirty. But, like, holy crap. But she's still alive, sort of, because she merged her spirit with it. And we find out that that's future Mai, and she tried to go warn them, but apparently when you become a holy fruit ghost, your translator is broken. So, but holy crap, how cool was that, though? And because she visited those three, she showed Sagara who the front runners in the fight were. That's fucked up.
She kind of affected their fate from the very start without meaning to.
By trying to protect them, she caused it. It's one of them weird timey-wimey loopholes.
It's one of those Deno things.
That's so messed up. But it's so cool to see that, like, tie back, because when the series is over, I'm probably going to go back and rewatch the first few episodes, just because you remember watching that episode, and, like, at the time, everything was just so unknown. Like, there was so many possibilities, and you're like, that's probably some sort of future version of Mai, and you had no idea, like, what happened to her, or if it was her or not. And now, going back and watching it, you know exactly where she came from, because you've seen that future, and it's just really cool to see all that happen, and a kind of an interesting twist. I didn't expect her to be the one that essentially showed Sagara that Baron, Gaim, and Ryugen were going to be the ones in the final fight. Fuck.
It's really crazy. It is.
Yeah, it's... I was actually just talking about this kind of stuff yesterday with Anchor Crab, about how, like, with last week's revelation that Sagara was the Forest, and then this week we have all sorts of stuff happening. We have Mai going back
really
in time. We have, you know, Mai dying. We have Ryoma dying. We have Coda dying. Like, it's surprising that at episode 43, this late in the series can still kind of surprise us a bit.
And I love that so much.
It can still climax.
it's a feeling that I'm not used to with Ryder, and I love it, because the past few years, there's been surprises, yes, but a lot of the build-up has been very predictable. And so when you're confronted with a show where, like you said, episode 43, it still throws a curveball at you, and you're like, did that just happen? And it's fantastic.
Like, there's been very little predictable in this entire show.
There's, like, nothing predictable about this show. Very few things. And it's great.
I didn't expect how... Like, we sort of knew that it was going to be future Mai, but I did not expect it to turn out that way. And I didn't expect Ryoma to die in this episode, and Coda to sort of. It's like, shit. Stop.
Everyone dead, everyone's belt destroyed.
Like, is this the last episode?
Our Ryder cast consists of, I guess, Baron, Ryugen,
Bravo, Graydon, and Graydon. Oh my god.
And then whoever ends up taking Duke, because that Duke still exists, if anyone actually ends up using it. But we're getting down to the bare minimum of writers here.
Yeah. And even now it's like, well, what's the finale going to be like? Because
I didn't expect it to seem to be a Gaim and Baron showdown like we're heading towards. Yeah. I did not really expect that. Like, I expected them to have to address the conflict, given that there's only one can be standing, but I didn't expect it to be like this.
Yeah, I wasn't... Looking back at the beginning of the show, there's very much a Guy and Baron kind of standoff, and that is that concept in the beginning is very much paralleled here at the end, except the stakes are so much greater than
way higher
than dance battles on the streets. Now we're at like armies of monsters and clashing, and it's definitely very similar yet very different.
Well, and I didn't expect Michi, the way he's turning out, I wasn't, because everything's so unpredictable, wasn't sure if it was the final episode or close to it, but I expected Michi to be up there within the last few episodes, like, at his highest possible point of evil and power, and then there would be a clash. I didn't expect him to crumble so soon. Like,
I think it's kind of fitting, though.
Like, he deteriorated before our eyes.
Because he built up and built up and built up this, like, presence of selfish evil, and then it's just all of a sudden, he's done.
Man.
Like,
Brian sounded like he just smacked Michi.
Aerosol could
feel
that.
Maybe I did, you don't know.
You've just been slapped across the face, my friend.
I now have to name my right hand Michi, like, thank you.
Michi defeated himself. I did not call that.
Michi's going to be jacking off, Brian.
In a weird way, though, it is kind of fitting with how much they've been talking about how, well, not they, but, you know, his inner conscience, about how his life's not really, it doesn't really have any meaning. There's no value to it anymore. He kind of brought all of this on himself, so a big, grand, like, defeat would seem too good for him. Like, him just kind of crumbling and collapsing in on himself is about the best he could ever hope for.
Coda essentially defeated him with nice.
He's like,
and so he's starting to crumble, and he's like, well, I can protect my still and be a good person. Oh no. And then he's gone. He's just a big sobbing mess on the floor, and I think that's the last we've seen of him. I think he's still in there crying.
That's actually his last scene ever.
He's not on the show anymore.
Like, I'm so curious how everything, like, the very ending of the show is going to be, because this episode actually reminded me a lot of the end of Ryuki, where everybody was falling, and it's like, what the fuck kind of ending is going to happen? And then I really hope they don't reset, because, like, almost everyone's dying, and there's, like, very little world left, so I'm curious how they're going to resolve it, because not just our main cast, but the whole world's crumbling.
I mean, I hope there's not a reset, too, but at the same time, when everyone is dying, but outside of Mai, I don't think anyone hugely impactful has died to the point where, like, the world itself would be a really strange place. Not like Ryuki, where, like, 12 people got killed.
Well, yeah, but still, that was all within that the writer battle, and this is, like, the world battle.
That is, like, true. The world is in shambles. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Helheim is
that is
taking
an important thing to remember me.
Because the battle fight was just, like, you know, it was like the Make-A-Wish kids fighting for the one wish. That's what the writer.
What I
want
to know is, if everybody's dying, how is anybody going to be there for a team up later?
Well, they all have, like I said, Gaim has like 5,000 different alternate universes in which the characters' relationships are slightly different. And in one of those, everyone was just so friendly that everyone's still alive.
DK just opened up the door for all the multiple versions of everything. But yeah,
through their power of bro-ness, Michi and Takatora were able to save everyone in the
bro-est timeline.
The bro-ness. so they got it covered.
But God dang! Like, I really don't want them to reset, but I'm just so beyond curious. Like, there hasn't really been a writer series in a long time where I'm like, I have no idea what the final scene's gonna be. Is it going to be Michi rubbing the meth lab and then falling over dead? I don't know. I'm the only one that gets that, but I'm fine with it. But
Dossman is fucking references.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. And then at the same time, it's like, like, what? Drive's coming up. I kind of want to see what they do, but I love this show so much, very dearly. What? I miss Gaim so much. I don't understand what's happening. Gossam's a faggot.
You stopped. You said, like, and then you paused, and then there was, like, a few seconds, and then you said, Drive's coming up. That's really going to be the ending. Drive's just going to burst through in his car. Plot twist, Kenji Oba drives in, saves everyone.
Throws Michi into a river.
Doesn't even get wet. Can't tell if he's a demon. Remember when I threw water on Kat?
That was funny.
She wasn't
Kat and
a demon.
Aerosol are not demons.
I couldn't get water on Aerosol. There's no conclusive proof.
Oh, shit. He could be a demon. Fuck.
I couldn't even find any Borax, so for all we know, they're both Leviathan.
I'm scared.
I don't even know what's happening.
But yeah. So the ending of Gaim is just going to be Drive comes in on his car, pulls out a big red button, which is like a literal reset button. He just pushes it.
You know what I imagine? I imagine that the ending is going to be all the main characters of Coda are dead. And he doesn't know what to do about rebuilding the world. And Drive just comes up and says, "Something's got to be done about your kids, Coda." And he gets in the car. And they take Jennifer's there for some reason. And they take her. And they drive away.
They take her to the future, all the way to the year 2015.
They take her 1 year into Drive's future. And Jacket is now dry, you know. The whole shtick. And the resolution's going to happen in the series after Drive in the Old West. So, look forward to that. God, it's so good.
I am super sexy.
Like, I hope Drive, Gaim, my new one true pairing.
That's when Drive and Gaim have gay butt sex. Drive.
You know, everyone's like, oh, Drive's not going to live up to Gaim. And I don't want to be one of those people that says that. But I hope it at least keeps a storytelling style that we can keep having these conversations, because it's been a really great year of not just having the conversations about Gaim and just sitting there thinking about it. I haven't sat there and thought about Ryder for more than like 15 seconds in like 4 years.
That's because all those 4 years, the shows were the same.
Exactly.
And didn't we also do this last year? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, motherfucker.
Okay. And when I was watching this episode, I was thinking about when we first heard about Gaim, and like we thought it might be just a funner show. And then we heard about the writer who wrote in that Majiro show or whatever, and that it was like really depressing. And I'm like, that's not going to happen. This guy's a grape. And look what happened, guys.
This is fruit and dance teams in the streets. This guy's
a grape.
Look what happened, guys.
This is Kamen Rider meets Step Up meets Fruits, and then about 10 episodes in, oh god, it's starting.
We should have known when we were laughing and Mai showed up and said, if you turn back now, you'll always regret it. Look at this chick talking about.
Oh, man.
Oh, master penis.
The hell is she talking about? They're busy dancing. Playing Pokemon.
Pokemon!
Speaking of Pokemon.
Boom. Ramble time segue.
Because now it's time for ramble time.
So who wants to suck my balls?
What?
Nope.
I didn't watch it.
Neither did I, actually. I forgot I was watching a Buffy rerun. Those take priority.
Wait, what happened?
I didn't watch Pokemon because Buffy was on.
Oh, it was more Lucario. Team Rocket wanted to kidnap Lucario.
Still.
It could hear Karina's voice for 15 seconds and fight as Mega Lucario. What?
Sorry. We were stuttering. I couldn't resist it.
I'm just saying this, it was more the Mega Lucario thing. Like, Team Rocket tried to capture it, and then it could hear Karina's voice for like 15 seconds, so it could fight as Mega Lucario. That was a bunch of Noibat. That's the main bullet points of the episode. It's
and the vine. It's like the best reaction. I go, bah, and he goes, what? That's my favorite.
Because I don't pay attention when you talk. I just hear weird sounds. I'm like, wait, did I miss something?
Wait, he just bah at me? Like, that's the only time he pays attention.
Fuck a goat.
So, Korra, wait.
It just dawned on me that there isn't anything else to talk about until we talk about Falling Skies.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, there we go. I knew there was something. How did I forget that? This was fun.
Because you're fucking stupid.
We weren't recording at the time. We established that when we started this call.
I wasn't there. I was busy touching your mom.
Brian Flatline, it was no big deal.
Oh, that's normal.
But, yeah, they went inside a Dalek. It has
corridors and stuff, and it's very conveniently.
Laid out like a spaceship. but I liked the episode just because it was a different take on it. Because honestly, I'm pretty tired of the Daleks, and it seems so soon for the Doctor after he just had that whole conflict with him before he regenerated, and then like 2 days later, it's another Dalek. Story of Doctor's life.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. That's kind of like a. ongoing thing. Like, the Dalek stories are always like really early on. I don't know why. Because I thought the same thing. Like, this is like really soon to be facing the Daleks, but at the same time it did kind of lend towards the whole like who am I kind of thing.
Yeah.
Who am I, Dawson Ryder?
Oh, okay. He was super like callous in this episode. Like, he sacrificed that guy real quick. He's like, This guy's dead, fuck him, let's get the fuck out of here, bro.
I was gonna mention that because I thought it was just kind of like a little quirk last week when we saw him like bickering with the hobo about, you know, the, well, give me the coat, there's no reason why both of us should be cold, give me the coat. But now it's like, well, there's no reason why all of us should die. He was already going to die, so I just sped it up. Like, that's, like you said, it's callous, like, it's cold, it's...
I love it.
Because, you know, because previously, the Doctor's made decisions like that before, but it was always, like, he was super mad that he made that decision, and there's always so much thought put into it.
Yeah, and well, it
he did
it
point to Claire and say, she cares, so I don't have to.
I love that line.
Something that Dawson great. Would say.
It is. But yeah, it's like, it's super different, and it's almost done kind of, I mean, you notice it more in this episode, but it's done a lot more subtly too. Just sort of noticing his behaviors, and, like I mentioned on Twitter, it's super weird to not have such a grasp on who he is. Like, we're probably just as confused as he is.
He just says, it was Clara, am I a good man? Fucking no.
And in terms of the Dalek thing, it was interesting. It kind of reminded me of, from what I remember, that episode with that human Dalek thing, where he had a hard time believing that he could not be evil, and there was like pigmen everywhere. Except there was no pigmen in this episode. I think Spider-Man was there.
Oh yeah, I remember.
But it kind of reminded me of that.
This one reminded me a lot of just the episode Dalek from the Ninth Doctor.
It was very much like except now with shrinking.
I forgot about that one.
Hell, it even had the same line, the whole...
Shrinkage?
The whole, you would make a good Dalek thing. I mean, it's done in a completely different context to that line, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that episode.
There was one line in it that, what did he say? And I was like,
straight
wait.
To Pigman and Spider-Man.
There was some line they said in this episode. I'm like, I don't think this is your line. I think you just took this from somebody else.
Resistance is futile?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's the Borg. That's not you. You went to a different went to a different show. You took that. You totally took that.
And, you know, another interesting scene was when he was, like, plugging himself into the Dalek, like, how he first saw the beauty and the wonder that the Doctor saw, and then quickly saw the hatred, which I thought was a really good scene, because that's essentially what the Doctor's always been like, is there's a mix of kind of both. So that's not really changed, but I think it was kind of heightened in this one because of how confused he is about who he is. And, like, he was so happy that the Dalek was letting in all that beauty. And then as soon as it turned and he started seeing the hatred, he was, like, really upset. And, like, I don't want to say terrified. It sounds like an overreaction. But that he had that hatred in him and it was kind of flowing into the Dalek and making things worth let the hatred flow through you. That's exactly what happened, actually. That's the first time that's happened.
I want to let the hate flow through me.
Because Luke didn't let it happen. He's like, no, fuck this, man. I lost my hand. I'm out of this rat race.
I want the hate to flow through your mother.
And Clara made a date with a black man. That was the other thing that happened.
That was just upsetting. Because now she's never going to go back.
Why would it be upset? Oh, I get it. I just got it.
Oh.
You know, because once you go black, you never go back to the TARDIS. It still weirds me out, just the whole picking up and dropping off thing. Like, we've had it for a while now, but it's still...
Interracial relationships are allowed, too.
Yeah, it's so weird. But it's just kind of strange, since for so long they always lived on the TARDIS. And it leaves opportunities for, like, really long gaps between the visits. Sent me out for coffee. It's like 3 weeks ago. Well, I got it.
Ow.
Exactly. That hurts when you don't get the coffee. Let's see. Was there anything else to mention?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But next week's going to be Robin Hood. So that's a thing.
I want Robin Hood.
So that looks to be like sort of a more fun, fillery episode. Oh, and I don't remember which one it was, but one of the people that was with him, like one of the soldiers, got sent to heaven with Missy.
Yeah. I really want to know. I mean, I'm assuming that's going to be like our thing for this season, but it makes me want to know more every time we get another one of those little clips with this chick. Like, welcome to heaven. What the fuck are you talking about? Actually, going into the episode, I was expecting, I guess it was going on, that the Dalek was going to end up there.
That would be weird.
I hope that if that is our ongoing little plot thread, that we get more of it as time goes on, instead of just a big plot dump towards the end.
Instead of just getting like a 15-second thing each episode.
Kind of like them to, you know, keep away from doing that again.
Yeah, because and not having like the identical scene every episode where just whatever person he wronged.
Yeah.
And this one was pretty similar, but I guess it showed that it wasn't necessarily because an enemy, like it was just someone he sort of wronged in a way, whereas, you know, last week's was a direct enemy. So yeah, hopefully if we get anything next week or in the week after, they expand on it a little bit, or at least give us a little bit of a different scene setup.
I want to set up your mom.
But I'm enjoying it a lot so far. I'm really liking him, and I find the whole just prospect of him finding out who he is intriguing, and how callous he is. I find it amusing.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he's kind of awkward. Like, he's kind of this, like, awkward, shy old man. It's kind of amusing.
Yeah, he does a really good job of playing all the different, like, aspects of him. Like, he's not strictly just cold. He can have funny, awkward moments as well.
Like, I like the scene, the ending scene from last week, where he's like, so, you want to get coffee, or chips, or coffee and chips. She's like, you can pay. I don't have any money. he's just like this really like awkwardly approaching this. Like, I don't think I'm the fetching type.
It's like an Alzheimer's patient. I don't have anybody. I don't know what we're doing. How do I do this? Who are you? Who am I? What, oh, fuck.
He's like Dory. He's the Dory of Doctor Who. He's just going around saying, P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney. I don't know why I just brought that. I wonder how many people Dory made remember that address just because of that movie. I cannot remember an address someone told me to, like, go to their house or something, but I can remember that.
I hope that's a real address in Sydney.
Get a lot of visitors from fish. It's just like a tiny little knock at the door, open it up, it's a tiny fish just flopping.
God damn it.
This is going too far. We're going... Speaking of flopping fish, falling skies.
My penis, oh.
There was a lot of flopping fish.
Yeah. I thought the finale in both episodes, I don't think we talked about the week before either, but I thought they were great.
Everything leading up to the finale was really great that we haven't got a chance to talk about, and the finale itself, I think, was done really well. You run into a little bit of issue with trying to balance out the, like, the two finales that are, like, going on at the same time.
Yeah, the main group and then Tom and Lexi.
I saw a lot of people in comments and stuff complaining about it. I thought they handled it pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone was overshadowed by the other one, so...
I thought they did a good job of essentially highlighting all of the main little storylines and relationships that have happened through the season.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, Tom and Lexi needed to have their thing, obviously, which was the main focus. But then you had Pope and Sarah and Matt and, God damn it, Weaver. There we go. They've kind of had this sort of con buddy dynamic throughout the season. So they kind of had their moment, and Anne had her badass moment, because I thought he's kind of been more badass this season. And, you know, the awkward triangle had their moment. Them saving for Impotent Hal.
The awkward triangle.
Awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was really well done. People are being such bitches about it lately. It's one of those things where it's gone so many seasons now that it's always like, oh, first seasons were the best. Stuff sucks, now they're doing new things. But I don't think we talked about the week before when Lexi just killed that Aspeni with the Force. Like, she just, like, disintegrated him. Like, boom. Because she found out that she was being betrayed, and I honestly was a little bit disappointed by that. I was kind of hoping it would be a bigger moment when she sort of changed sides as opposed to her just eavesdropping on their weird little Cole conversations.
Yeah.
But it's fine, I guess. It wasn't that huge of a deal. And as soon as Tom woke up, because it was like he got in the cocoon and then the commercial break, when he woke up, I knew it was a dream.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
Like, it was so obvious, because he's had that before, like, with, when... It was, like, last season when they did that thing where they were trying to find out what city they were attacking, and they put him in that.
Yeah.
That was a weird episode, and then there was one not too long ago that was very similar as well. But it was just pretty obvious.
The show does that a lot. The show...
Yeah.
Very much does those dream sequence things a lot.
But I thought it was a very interesting way of handling Lexi's sort of psychological guilt over all she's done.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Brian just got attacked. I think people are in the room. So I'll just
Brian, are you
talking.
Recording in a casino again?
He's recording in the casino bathroom, actually. I don't know what to do because he's the only one to bounce off of. I think I'll just wait.
No.
Okay. I didn't know what to do.
It's a tiny penis. Hey, it's a tiny penis.
There was a lot of conveniences, I think. I like how he didn't... they get abducted by the big Aspeni ship.
Aspeni.
He's pointing the gun at him. He, like, doesn't shoot. Or anything, he just kind of waves it around and then gets bitch slapped.
To be fair, probably couldn't have done much damage.
I wouldn't, you wouldn't have done anything.
And how did Lexi not just, like, force disintegrate him?
I thought about that. I assume if she started doing anything, he just would have did the necklace thing, which I thought was actually kind of stupid. But
yeah. But as soon as Hal gave Tom that syringe, I kind of knew he was going to end up using it on that Ashveni.
Yeah.
So it was pretty obvious. But I did really enjoy their storyline up there, their interactions, and him like sort of forgiving her, and how they handled how she felt guilt over it and was trying to communicate with him in that way. And she sort of sacrificed herself in the end, and I thought that the Volm were going to swoop in and blow up the power core or whatever, and then she was going to be reprieved from that, but she got blown up.
I thought they were going to come in and like just like scoop her up, and then the plane would hit the power core. That was what I was thinking. But
I think she might still be alive.
I think so too.
Because she could either maybe survive because she's so powerful, or it's possible that this third rogue group or whatever picked her up. It seems like such a waste. Like, if she did, she had a pretty good arc in a way, and it was a fitting end, considering she did kill Lourdes and did a lot of bad things, but...
I like how killing Lourdes is a plus.
Well, you know, and she's, like, really powerful, which... You could argue she's kind of overpowered, but we don't really know what we're facing off against next season. But I think it would be wasted potential to not have her around next season.
I really hope that these new aliens are, not assholes.
I'm really curious how they handle it.
I really want next season because it's 10 episodes?
Final season.
10, yeah. Right? Okay. I really hope that it's kind of a picking off the last groups of Ashveni on Earth and just kind of showing a little bit of world building in, like, for real, literal world building, because the world's gone.
I didn't get the chance to mention that because we forgot to talk about it last week, but I like that, I think it was an episode before these, that they mentioned... that, like, the second mass was one of very few groups of humans left. Because I always wondered about that. I'm like, the world's a big place, and how is it that this tiny little second mass is the only one doing major shit? And they said that essentially most everyone was either dead or turned into skitters. So I'm like, okay, so if that makes sense now, that I'm glad they finally addressed that, if that's the reason why they're one of the main fronts in the fight.
By the time the show ends, the world population's like... the population of, like, Detroit or something. Just, like one like, major city left and then everything else is gone.
This is exactly like Gaim. I'm really curious how they handle those new aliens. Because the Ashveni said they were preparing for a threat that they couldn't even imagine. But I'm curious, maybe it was just a threat to the Ashveni. Maybe they don't mean any harm to Earth. But it was just actually a threat to the Ashveni. But... like, I can definitely see what you mean about them, like, picking off the rest of the Ashveni and the Skitters and rebuilding, but at the same time, it being the final season, I feel like there's got to be a big moment. And so I feel like they're probably going to end up fighting these aliens, which it seems like a daunting task for 10 episodes, considering they've been struggling against the Ashveni for 4 seasons, but they could get to them before they get to really plant on Earth. And they have the Volm. And if the Volm now see that, you know, they were able to strike the blow against the Ashveni, maybe they'll bring more Volm in. I don't know. But it definitely, I think, brought a what could be a really fresh twist into the last season, which I think will be cool.
I saw a lot of people talking about how they think that the... because we only got a reflected glimpse of the aliens, but I saw a lot of people talking that they're pre-mutated Skitters. Like, the race that the Skitters are before the Ashveni were like...
That's possible. They did kind of have that similar shape.
Yeah.
It was very subtle, but when Tom turned around, he referred to it as beautiful. Well, so, I'm assuming
they have some sort of... fetishes we don't know about.
I don't know. Like, either they have mind control, or Tom is freaky as shit. I mean, he's seen a lot of stuff. But yeah, I thought the finale was overall really good. I really liked this season a lot. I
did too. A lot of people were like, "Oh, this season sucks," or "jumping the shark." I thought it was great.
It was
definitely a very entertaining season. It was the first season that I watched, like, as it was going to end.
Yeah. Because I've mentioned this several times, but last season, I liked last season and a lot of what they did, but there was something off about it. And I thought this season sort of got things back on track where it felt more like normal Falling Skies again, and it also brought a lot of interesting twists in. And it was really good and it entertained me all the way throughout. So, but now it comes like the almost year-long wait for the final season, and it's always on a cliffhanger. It's always like, oh, Tom's been taken on the ship. See you in 9 months. Wait. Mysterious new alien group. See you in 9 months.
That's basically like every Falling Skies finale. Like, Tom gets captured. There's new aliens.
I think last season was the only one to not really have a cliffhangery thing, because they sort of won... and they were on their way back to Charleston, and the only sort of cliffhangery bit was Lexi aging quickly and removing those little bugs from Lortus's head. It was creepy, but like, it wasn't anything like, oh my god, I can't wait for this cliffhanger. I think that was like the most calm finale, which was quickly remedied watching them walk calmly in the season 4 premiere, only to be bombed. But yeah, I hope it. That's also another show, kind of similar to Guy. I'm really curious what the final resolution will be like, because the world is in shambles. Second Massive is going to rebuild it and rename Earth Massachusetts. Like, seriously, it's really funny. When I first started this show, I always compared it to like The Walking Dead with aliens, because it's sort of a similar situation. Mm-hmm. And as much as I love The Walking Dead, the Second Mass would totally make the world of The Walking Dead their bitch. This little group is so badass.
They are.
They've done so much. Like, this season, they're like, we're just going to steal a ship and fuck it. We're going to the moon. Like, they get shit done in a way that people on The Walking Dead do not.
But no, I enjoy these characters. I really do. And that's kind of what just makes me keep watching. Like, I want to know what happens, and I'm invested in the characters for the most part. I'm more invested in the ones that they keep alive. Not a whole lot of the deaths have been really impactful to me, but still, I'm invested enough to always want to come back.
Like, I can't think of too many of the ones that have really been that shocking. I mean, Lexi, if she is not coming back, would be kind of shocking, because kind of dug her. But Jack got eaten in from the inside out by Skitters, so Zeron has that to look forward to. Watch an SPD Ranger fight Skitters, yeah! And I'm like, oh, you're going to get eaten from the inside out.
That black bitch died. Danny.
Who?
Danny,
oh, that kid?
It? Yeah.
God,
he got killed off screen.
The girl. Oh, yeah. She just, like, disappeared. Like, I think she just tripped. And so that was really funny. Like, we didn't even care about her. I thought you were talking about that little black kid from the first season that got a harness.
He was a little bitch.
God, he was the worst. Yeah. It was really funny. I did see a funny comment on IGN's review that said, it's funny how those Ashveni ships could be piloted by one person. Like, it's a huge ship. It was like maybe two or three times the size of their little scout ship, and there's like one Ashveni and the translator. I like how they have to have translators. But I guess it's because of the CGI
dead too.
Budget.
That's fun.
Yeah, and the CGI budget, I guess they have to deal with that. But yeah, final season's gonna be good.
Okay.
I think that's about it. Now for Catman. Oh, fuck, I forgot we have Facebook. I was like, oh, yeah, it's time to go. And then, hold on, I gotta go to Facebook. That means now it's time for...
the Facebook question of the week for now.
Sort of. Yeah. Okay. So this week's question... is the triumph of Kevin still shallow toku fapping to get it out? Just put your heart into it. Heart of the penis. It's like Heart of the Cards, but with penis. Sorry, I couldn't resist making the joke. Okay, so after weeks of my negligence, the question... What is back? So this week we are. What is your favorite Yellow Ranger of all time?
Kiefer Martin says Chip because capes are cool.
Derek Zartan says, for guy yellows, I will say Dustin. For girls, Gia.
Joshua Perry says
Perry.
Tenya. Says Tenya because I like the Zio Turbo suits.
That's a reason.
Chris Nichols says, mine is the yellow Psycho Ranger because the Psycho Rangers don't get enough love. Well, that and wait for it.
You okay. Will keep waiting.
you're going to wait. You sit there and wait and think about what you did.
Kevin Phantom Thong says, Trini because she's dead. Well, Trini is not... Okay. We'll pretend.
I like that this is the day it gets read on, too. Stephen Ketchum says, I know, right? Stephen Ketchum says, probably Taylor from Wild Force because I think the character is really awesome and because Wild Force was biased.
What?
Why was it biased? I mean, she wore that dress.
He likes Wild
Force. Oh, because there we go. I thought it was because of... I would have picked her because of the dress she wore at Morphicon, but...
Jarek Steele says, dude, I did. That was a nice outfit at Morphicon. Oh, my God. Jarek Steele says, dude, Dustin from Ninja Storm because that is the series I am watching. That's a valid reason. And also, that's a long answer to read.
Like, you want to take a minute?
Adam Stabelli says Z.
That's tiring. Tommy Liu says, I'm going to say what people aren't going to say, Tidius from Alien Rangers, because he is very strong and level-headed. How do you know?
You determine that from like 12 episodes? That's awesome.
He's probably more top-heavy with that fish thing. Lester Barrett says, well, Audrey Dubois was in the pilot, so she's so she's not an official Yellow Ranger, but if she was, I'm sure she'd be my favorite Yellow Ranger.
She's the best, pedaces, I can't decide between Kira or Z.
Disturbing how accurate that is.
Charles Chong says Trini because she's yellow before and after transformation.
We have the worst listeners.
Twinkie, yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
Brian, where is Dawson Ryder? Is he coming to Subway with us? He needs to eat fresh.
Calvin Lee says, I haven't done this yet because procrastination, but my favorite yellow would have to be Trini because she grew a penis when she morphed. Like I said, we have the worst listeners.
God damn, these people are awful.
Edward Joestar Queck, damn it, there can only be one Joe in our feeds. Trini because she wanted to be in Turbo. Hashtag never forget. Hashtag the 5 million... Fuck it. No, fuck it.
Alright,
I like the last hashtag of hashtag nostalgia fag, though. Got me.
James Parr Jr. says Z, Chip, and Dustin.
Thanks, Genta.
That's a very angry looking Genta.
Chris Lee says, I'm rather enjoying Gia, if I'm honest. Her or Chip?
Oh, we all enjoy Gia. You know, she gets around.
William Coe says, Kira. Easiest choice.
Jenick Stewart says, Chip cuz lol.
Adorable answer. Justin Young says, I would say either Lost Galaxy's Maya, Ninja Storm's Dustin, or Dino Thunder's Kira.
That'll yes, but what does Justin Old have to say?
You are fucking stupid.
CKD Tigre says, Summer and Z, since we see so much character growth with them. I want to say Lily, too, because she's hot, and that's a good reason to say she's a favorite.
Yeah, that dress she was wearing at Morphicon was Jedimon approved.
Christian Shear says, Chip from Mystic Force, because fuck all y'all feminists. Feminists. There's plural here. And he's what I imagine Dawson would be like as a ranger.
I need my own seal of approval for these chicks' dresses at Morphicon.
We're going to make one for the next one. J. Jonah Jameson says, Dustin from Ninja Storm.
Eric Beltran says, Summer RPM. Oh, that's her last name.
She is tough and has heart. Hi, whoever is reading this. I thought her last name was Lansdowne.
Jeff Moses said, Kira was cool in DT, as was Chip in Love Magic, smiley face.
Just believe.
Elias Mendoza says, I liked Ashley from In Space. She had her own character moments and chemistry with Andros, which
those
made her
boobs
stand out from time to time. Also, since today is my birthday, can I get a shout out, please? Thank you. Thanks. You guys are the best. I'm sorry.
No shout out for you.
Well, by making me read that, I therefore gave you a shout out. But happy birthday.
Happy birthday 2 days ago. I don't think you understand how time works, but oh no, I get this one. You better buckle in, because I have a hard time reading when the sentences make sense.
Also has a hard time reading.
Here we
short
go.
Things.
I'm.
You didn't even say who it was.
I just moved and then started laughing. I'm Maya. Corey Gong. Whatever. I, Maya, have not been able to curiously remember all the Yellow Rangers, but with my limited knowledge, I'll be able to find the best one. Tailor-made to fit the mold of the best Yarrow Ranger. Now I know we're not thinking of Gia. Wonder what creation he'll be basing his decision off of. To find the best Yarrow Ranger, I find they need to have a chip on their shoulder. But this dust in, I literally don't remember many of them. I, Emery, have a basic understanding. Looking at the past Yellow Rangers, you have clearly Kelsey. Wait, you can clearly Kelsey. There we go. Kelsey, I got it. And most of them are Ashley female characters. Now, don't Ronnie excuse me of being a sexist. Now, don't you... Wait.
Wrongly,
there we go. Okay, I got it. Because I'm Trini, read as Trini.
Thank you.
Use as a gender creation. I'm just saying it's the tidiest way to look. This is difficult. You settle down. I'm just saying, super saying, it's the tidiest way to tell you that my answer will most likely be female. So to summarize, my favorite Yellow Ranger of all time is Aisha Campbell, because Campbell's chicken noodle soup is da bomb. Thank you. I missed Katie Walker because she walked away.
I'm so glad the illiterate person on the podcast got that answer.
That was difficult. But I have to give major props to him for doing that both weeks, because that's creative as fuck.
All right. George Hansen Jr. says... Yellow is a pretty tough category for me, but Kira is spectacular.
Why does he talk like
that? I don't know. That's how I imagine George would talk. Her story and origin resonated with me so deeply at the time. She's one of the most down-to-earth characters in the show's history and one of the strongest Rangers. Emma played her so well.
Kind of sounds like Matt.
Shut up. It was supposed to be gay Matt, but...
You'll get it eventually, Kevin. this is one of the kind of more challenging picks for me, I think. Because the Disney era had a lot of pretty strong yellows. So I'm not really sure. I have always liked Chip, because I relate a lot to Chip.
You're a ginger?
So... Yeah, that's a secret. You don't know that about me at all.
I do now.
But my... Maybe Kira? Chip or Kira? I don't know. I'm
Kira, Kira. Kira, Kira.
Kira, Kira.
She's just so shiny.
Kira, because wizard.
No. That's one of the reasonings that people would give.
Yeah, it is a sort of more difficult one to answer. But I think I'm going to go with
Not
Summer.
Not for me.
I liked her last name, her of the prestigious RPMs. No, but you know, her story was, I liked the concept of it. It wasn't necessarily executed the best with the whole, you know, butler thing, and it seemed sudden. But I liked the idea of this Yellow Ranger sort of being this complete snobby bitch who only cared about herself, and then becoming this sort of hero. And like I said, it wasn't executed perfectly, but I really liked the whole idea behind it, and I just really enjoyed her in the show. She was also in Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off, if anyone remembers that movie. I love that movie. It's not as good as Horse Sense, but...
I hate you.
What? I used to want to be a chef, so I really liked the movie.
All right. I have two answers for this. My first answer is Trini, because...
Here we go.
First, and then number two, she's Asian and could understand Billy. And, of course, I mean, there's the most obvious reason of all. The actress died, so you must pick her as your favorite. Like, it's just the law. If you don't, it's just insensitive. I mean, she clearly had a lot of character development over those first seasons she was in. And
buckle up for safety.
She just did so much.
She's trying to help the future.
Ran from putties. Had that uncle guy.
She had an uncle. She did so much in her career as a ranger. Had a cousin, like, she got turned into cardboard. Like,
was friends with Kimberly. Put up with that bitch. Then my second answer is Aisha. You know, she just broke the stereotype of having to have an Asian as a Yellow Ranger. And she just broke that stereotype so well with being loud. Having stereotypical black girl hair.
Mighty Morphin or bust.
Wearing
Mighty
that
Morphin
weird,
or nothing. That was this.
Wearing that weird vest thing over her yellow shirt frequently. Again, being friends with Kimberly and putting up with her bitchiness.
Having her hair randomly change length because some of the episodes were filmed during the movie production.
Accepting the hot Australian girl as a new friend when Kim decided she wanted to be a gymnast. It takes a lot to accept a hot Australian girl as your friend.
Hey, want to be my best friend and forget Kim ever existed? Who? Exactly!
Oh, yeah. She did adopt the Australian girl as her pet cat at one point.
Yeah, she did, too.
True fact.
Exactly. She got her own...
Selflessly decided to rewrite time.
And then she just went back
you
to stay...
You interned at a vet place? You can help lions?
Exactly.
Credits are transferable.
Aisha is a veterinarian. She is the chosen one.
Are you a cop? No, veterinarian.
Kevin's just made me realize that Aisha is an incredible character.
She did a lot more than Trini, though.
Yeah, so do most characters. Goldar did more in the first 16 episodes than Trini did.
Truth.
As for a real answer, I have to go with Summer. Or Gia, because those eyes, don't stare into them. You'll lose yourself.
Real, honestly, I still haven't found myself again. I turn to Kevin and I go, am I a good man?
For an hour, he didn't know who he was. He thought it was me.
Oh, I pass.
Carousel's like, fuck yellows. They all have
my second answer.
I've been thinking about it, and I don't know. Like, I don't really like Yellow Rangers that much. Honestly, a lot of them kind of piss me off.
So. Yeah, well, we had those lesbians, so... Oh, you know, actually, damn it. I want to change my answer to Maya, because she had large boobs. That was my sole reason for liking Maya. That's acceptable, right?
Sure.
Everyone better buckle up for next week, because it's going to be green!
Oh, wait, Ashley had big boobs, too.
Gonna be numerous obligatory JDF jokes.
I feel like you have to disclude Tommy.
If
Tommy's your actual answer for green, then I feel really sorry for you.
Tommy's your actual answer for green. Please don't answer.
I actually kind of figured he was included in both this category and then the Six Ranger one. He's an oddball. So I guess Cam is, too. You can answer for both those categories.
Like, seriously, if
Tommy... We're going to pick Cam now.
My favorite category is Ace. Category Ace. It's late.
Oh, my God.
As much as I like Sorry. Cam, he's not my pick, but... Anyway.
Oh. Your pick is...
Thanks, spoiler alert. Let's save it for next week.
Brian loves Mike.
Save it next week. We go green. Everyone got to wear green here next week and get a streak in your hair. I really
like Damon.
I really liked the way he was in the
Mike!
And he always seemed to have, like, oil on him.
He likes Joel's cowboy hat.
Now it's time for...
Final thickies! I have a thingy and it's not final.
Something about green.
No, my thing is not green. That would be bad. The fuck's wrong with you?
So, answered that question when I put it up. Hopefully I remember. I don't think there's any other announcements. Is there?
Dawson's naked.
The movie will be out at some point between now and the end of time. So look forward to that.
Unlike the Kaiwatu episode.
Oh man, did you hear about the Blu-ray releases? I was going to make a joke about that during the news, and then I forgot.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
We HD Kaiwatu episode. Let's do it.
It's the triumphant return.
Surround sound.
It's going to be great.
Well, we now have Aerosol HD. I have this nifty headset, so we could.
Green Dale.